Let's look in our Bibles in John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. John 15, as we consider the theme, abiding in Christ, we are still in the study of our Lord's last discourse, which is made up of John chapters 14 through chapter 17. We have already had a look at chapter 14. Now we begin chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The theme verse of these first 8 verses of John 15 is verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You will recall that Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and we suppose that this is the upper room discourse. It is the last discourse of our Savior. He has already communicated to his disciples in chapter 13 that he is going to leave them. And then in chapter 14, he is relating the consolations of his going back into heaven. He promises them his own presence through the Spirit. He promises them in verse 27 of chapter 14, peace. I leave with you my peace I give to you. So that he continues to give them the consolation. And that is what he is discussing now in chapter 15, when we find him discoursing on the relationship between the vine and the branches. It could be that the disciples had left the upper room, had descended, and were now on their way to Gethsemane, and therefore passing through the Mount of Olives would have seen olive trees or grape vines, and so that suggested the metaphor that Jesus uses, the metaphor of the vine and the vine dresser and of the branches. Regardless, tonight we're considering the key to all Christian living. If forgiveness, as we had a look at this morning, is the key to entrance into the Christian life, then the key to all Christian living is expressed right here in this passage, especially in verse 5 of John 15, where we are invited, encouraged, and Jesus exhorts us to abide in him, and he will abide in us. Indeed, I know of a preacher friend who made it his purpose and a point in his ministry when he first started out preaching. Every Sunday morning, there was one prayer that he always prayed before he left for church. And that was simply, Lord, help me to abide in you today and you in me. And the promise was that he would bring forth, or that person who abides in Christ will bring forth much fruit. Well, this metaphor of the vine and the branches actually occurs in many other passages in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. For example, in Isaiah 5, there is a parable of the vineyard that was producing no fruit and therefore came under judgment. And the same was true in Ezekiel 19. There is the vineyard that used to be good and that was now cast out. And then in Psalm 80, verse 8 following, there is the passage where the psalmist talks about the vine that used to grow in Egypt, and it was transplanted out of Egypt into the land of promise, Canaan itself, but that the vine has withered because it had become disobedient to the vine dresser, to God himself, and therefore it also was cast out. And of course, here is the metaphor that Jesus himself uses to describe our relationship with himself. Our relationship with Christ is like a vine that is the major stalk, and the branches that come off from that stalk that actually bears the fruit. Your relationship with Christ is like a branch to a vine. When he says, I am the true vine, he is talking about, obviously, himself. The I refers to Jesus Christ. And then in my version, the New King James, in verse 1, it says, vine dresser. The vine dresser is the Father. That is what Matthew 15:13 says. Jesus' teaching there says that it is the Father who plants. So that God the Father is planting. Jesus himself is the vine, but then obviously, in verse 2, every branch in me, those of us who are followers of Christ, are the branches. We are connected to the vine, and we are to be branches. The point is that a branch must have a vine. In order for you and me to have any life at all, we must be connected to the source of power, to the source of life, that we ourselves may bear fruit. There is a similar metaphor showing the close connection between Christ and his body in 1 Corinthians 12, as well as in Colossians 1, verses 15 through 18, where Paul uses the illustration of the church as different parts of the body. Paul Walker is a hand, and maybe Barbara Chambers is a foot, and maybe Wally Musselman is an ankle, and maybe Edwina Towers is another part of the anatomy, whatever. The point is that Jesus Christ is the head, and without the head, there is no life. It is he who is in charge of the body, and everything else is connected to the head, who is Christ himself. In the same way, we as branches are to be connected to the vine. Our relationship is a mystery. It is close. It is intimate. But what is the purpose? The purpose that Jesus has in relating this metaphor is to show what should be the outcome of our relationship with Christ. That if we are really connected to Jesus Christ, what should be the result? That's what we find in verse 5, When Jesus said, "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." That if you and I are really abiding in him, we will bear much fruit. We'll look in a minute at what fruit means. But if we are really Christians, then there should be some characteristic evidence, some fruitfulness to arise out of our lives. But there's another reason that Jesus uses this metaphor of our abiding in him as the branch and the vine, and that is expressed in verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." You see, how does a Christian glorify God? As the question posed in the first question in our shorter catechism, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But how do you glorify God? You glorify God by bearing fruit in your life. And if you have no fruit, then it is a good indication that either you are not a Christian or you are a very, I hesitate to say facsimile, but you are certainly not a fruitful Christian. You see, the point that Jesus has in talking about our relationship to him as a vine and a branch is to show what happens to, on the one hand, a believer, a professing believer who does not bear fruit. And on the other hand, a person who is just a Christian only in name, and what happens to him. What does happen? What Jesus says is that there are two kinds of branches. There are those who are true believers, who are professing believers, true believers, and then there are those who are believers only in name. What happens to them? In verse 2, we have presented what happens to true believers who bear fruit. And it says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." The believer is that one who bears fruit. And even if you are a believer and bearing fruit, you can be sure of this: God will prune your life. He will chip away that you may bear more fruit. But what happens to those who are just professing believers? In verse 2, he's talking about the true believers who are bearing fruit. He's going to prune them away. It's going to be a painful process sometimes. But there are also those that he mentions in verse 6. He says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned." Now, I hope that it is obvious to you that Jesus is talking about the visible church, and he is not talking about the true church. In other words, it squares. Go back to the Gospel of Matthew with me to chapter 13 and verses 24. 13:24. Where Jesus is talking about the parable of the wheat and the tares. And he says this, beginning in verse 24, "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, An enemy has done this. The servant said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Then Jesus said this, Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So what Jesus taught is that in the visible church, there will be two kinds of people. There will be those who are the true wheat, those who are the true believers, and those who are the tares, those who will not be true believers. And the metaphor that Jesus is using in John chapter 15 of the vine and the branch, he is talking about those two groups of people. The true believers, he says, are going to be pruned so that they will bear more fruit. But on the other hand, he says those who are not true believers, God will ultimately remove from his church. And they will be burned. We find in verse 2, going back to John 15, where Jesus says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. What is meant by the pruning? Well, all of us at some time or other have cut back shrubs and bushes at particular times of the year, depending on the time for pruning. I know there was a plant one time in my backyard that Emily said, honey, go outside and cut that plant down. And I didn't know that she meant prune. I mean, if you tell somebody to go cut it down, what are you going to do? I took it and I uprooted it and I took it to the pile out to the street and there it was. Okay? I made a mistake. So I replanted it, but it grew back. Ben Kemp can tell us a lot about pruning and cutting back. God uses the same process in your life. Sometimes God puts you on the shelf where you're not used. Maybe you want to be used, but listen, you can't bear more fruit than God wants you to bear. You can't be more useful to God than God intends to use you. And sometimes God takes us and he prunes us. One of the best books that I read several years ago is on this very process takes Isaiah 42:3. The bruised reed he will not break, and the dimly smoking wick he will not break. It talks about the bruising times, the times that are called the dark night of the soul, when God takes you, as it were, and he twists and he turns. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, said he believed that every now and then God ought to stick in the knife and turn it a little bit so that we can learn to depend on God. Aren't you thankful for your blessings? After you have been through a season of pain, even if it's physical pain, many of you right now tonight have not been in a physical or emotional pain for a long time. And you've forgotten what a blessing it is for you to be just where you are right now. But some of you are fresh off of hardships and adversities. And you know right on the tip of your tongue what it means to be blessed and without pain. Well, what Jesus is saying here is that there are times when we are pruned, as it were, and it looks like there's no life there at all, but God, the only reason he removes us and prunes us and chips away is that we will bear more fruit. Like the candles that Emily's parents prepared for her one birthday totally unlike her parents, a former FBI agent and trust officer in a bank. The candles presented to her on her birthday were trick candles, and there we were in this beautiful dining room, and this cake coming in, and the family gathered around, and Emily blowing out the candles, and they would come roaring back. You see, God prunes us for the purpose that our faith will come roaring back, and that we will bear even greater light than we could have borne if it were not for the pruning process. God also prunes us in many different ways. But notice that the main term and the main focus of the passage that I want you to see tonight is expressed in the words, "Abide in me for the purpose of bearing fruit." That is the design. What are the fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. There are a lot of different kinds of fruit. There are conversion of others, the fruit of hungering for the word, the fruit of desiring to be obedient, the fruit of fellowship in prayer, the fruit of love toward other Christians, the fruit of faithfulness in church, the fruit of renewed repentance. You see, there are many ways to express our fruitfulness to God. But the responsibility for this fruitfulness is not you. You and I cannot produce fruit. You know what you can do and I can do? The only thing we can do is abide in Christ. You see, He said, if you abide in me, fruit is going to come. Look at verse 4. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." You cannot make yourself look like a Christian by saying, doing all the right things. The only thing you can do is abide in Christ and allow Him, you see, so that the responsibility for abiding belongs to whom? To you. God is not going to make you do it. God is not going to make you abide in Christ. That is a choice and a decision that you have to make day by day. I'm going to abide like the preacher I told you about, who said, "Lord, let me abide in you today, and you in me." And the purpose is expressed negatively in this way in verse 5, and with this we'll close. "For without me, you can do a little bit. Without me, you can do something. Without me, you can make just a little advance in the Christian life. Without me, you can accomplish some good." That's not what it says. "Without me, you can do nothing." Abide in Christ. May God give to us the grace to abide in Him when we wake up on Monday morning. Let's pray.